Dear Lord, we're here to worship you. We're here in your house, and we thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you. And we ask for your presence here, that we would be receiving a blessing from you as we spend our time here. We pray this in your name, amen.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. I'll be reading out of the New King James. First Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18, and Paul says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you."
Recently I read a story, and some of you may have read it too, about a man in Japan that sued the hospital where he was born. He's 60 years old, and he was found by another family, found out to be their brother. 60 years ago, it was a family that had a baby in Japan, and someone else had a baby at the same time in the hospital, and the midwife switched the two children, giving them baths. Accidentally. The one was sent home to live with their parents. They were wealthy people, had all the advantages, wonderful education. They were, you know, really wealthy people, really people of privilege. And the other one was sent home with a mother that her husband died when the boy was 2 years old, and he had two siblings, an older brother and I believe a younger sister, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember that. And the father died, and he grew up in abject poverty. Did not get an education in any form, really. Spent a good share of his life on assistance from the government. Did do some work, not really very much. He's 60 years old now. In 2009... the family, the wealthy family, decided that their brother looked nothing like them to an extreme degree. And his two brothers said, you know, we ought to do a DNA test. We can't believe we're all related. And they did do a DNA test and found that he was no relation to them whatsoever. And they did some checking in the hospital and found another baby that was born almost exactly at the same time, did some DNA testing and found that that man who had been living in poverty was actually their brother. Sued the hospital, got a large sum of money. But as they interviewed the man who had lived in poverty, there was nothing but regret that I never got to know my parents. I had to be poor my whole life, and he was, by the quotes in the article, bitter and angry that his life had turned out differently than what it could have. I think we should recognize that we're born into not abject poverty. That when we become followers of Jesus, that we have many things assured to us. Peace of mind of forgiveness. The load of guilt and debt that is on our mind and from the life we've lived. We're the one who's adopted into a life of privilege, really. It may not be prosperity in the world's terms here, but it is a life of privilege. There are many people who go about their entire life searching for wealth, worldly success, positive relationships. They never find any of them. And they never find satisfaction in their life. We, on the other hand, if we understand what Christ has done for us and the sacrifices he's made and the home that he's preparing for us and the peace that he offers, the forgiveness that he offers, we cannot have that same bitterness that man had that he didn't get to experience the life that he could have. We can have the life where we can be thinking to ourselves, this is unbelievable. The family we've been adopted into is the richest in the entire universe. Offers more satisfaction, more friendship. We just are really blessed. I'd like to read a text here. It's in Psalm 69, 30 and 31. It says, I will praise the name of God with a song, will magnify him with thanksgiving. By the way, anybody, how do you magnify someone? What could you do to I want your participation here. How can you magnify God? What could you do to magnify God? Praise him. Tell him what people what he's done for you. Would you be hiding it? If you owed a huge debt and someone came in and said, you know what, I've really enjoyed getting to know you and I see this is a burden around your neck. I'm going to write a check for that debt that you owe just to relieve you because I care about you. Whew, are you kidding me? What, you think we'd hide that? Oh, thank you. Just send me the check. That'll be good. You think we'd hide it? Why, we'd shout it from the rooftops. Are you kidding me? See what this guy did for me? It's amazing. We wouldn't hide it. I'm not sure what, maybe we don't realize what God has really done for us. Maybe that's why we aren't shouting it from the rooftops in a little more magnified manner. We aren't magnifying what God has done to us, to others, done for us, you know, to others. The text goes on and says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock. In other words, he wants our words and our thoughts to be positive towards him a whole lot more than deciding to somehow give a grand sacrifice. What he wants is our true praise, our true thanks. I contend that we don't realize what the future really is. Anybody know, and don't use your iPhones, all those who have iPhones. Anybody know how many billionaires there are in the world? Billionaires. Somebody take a guess at how many billionaires there are. 25, okay, it's more. It's more than that. According to the site that I went to, it's more than that in the world. I think between 400 and 500 in the United States. Somebody said a number a little closer to it. It's 1,426 according to the latest information. 1,426 billionaires. I'm sure there's some other site that might give a different number, but that's the number that I came up with. What I'd like to know is, how long are each of these men going to live? Approximately.
72 years.
Yeah, 70, 80 years old maybe, if they're fortunate by reason of blessing and strength. Yeah, okay, that's not a bad thought. Maybe less because of what they have to worry about. Let me tell you, let's say that somebody, when they were a billionaire and they lived to be 70 years old, and somebody said, tell you what, exchange me your fortune and I can give you another 50 years of health and strength and clear mind on this planet. How many do you think would exchange their money for that extra 50 years? If they had any wisdom and judgment at all, everyone would choose the extra 50 years. Maybe even would choose the extra 10 years. I'm exaggerating maybe greatly when I say 50 years. They might choose another 10 years of strength and health and clear mind. We are guaranteed an eternity of strength and health and clear mind. And not only that, riches, we don't have to exchange our billions for that for that promise of eternal life in this universe. We don't have to exchange anything for it other than our allegiance and our humble acceptance of what's offered us. If you try and put in perspective the billionaires on this planet and what they would be willing to give up in order to have what we have, if they really believed, like we do, in what is awaiting us, they'd exchange every dollar for it. Eternal life in exchange for 70 years on this planet of maybe a 70 kind of burdensome years, really, in a lot of ways. We should be willing to sacrifice anything. They'd be willing to sacrifice their entire fortune. We just need to put our hearts and minds into the work that's given us. We need to submit ourselves and humble ourselves for the person who's offering that ultimate reward. We don't have the billions to offer in exchange. But what we do have to offer will get us that reward of eternal life. There are recent, in fact, I just thought of when John was in Sabbath school, he mentioned Steve Jobs, wealthy man, died young, and I don't recall exactly how young. I think he was somewhere late 50s. What was it? Okay, 56 years old. Would he exchange his worldly success and for a few more years? Yes. Are we willing to exchange any success or money or reputation or anything else, worldly standing, in exchange for a possibility of eternal life? How about a promise of eternal life? What we're asked to do doesn't seem so sacrificial when you look at it in terms of what's being offered us. It's not only peace of mind here, but it's an eternal future. The Thanksgiving, I frequently hear somebody say to do with thanks, well, you know, I thank the Lord for the next breath that I'm going to take. And I always thought to myself, you know, I can't remember thanking the Lord for the next breath I'm going to take. And I didn't really understand maybe exactly what they meant. But the truth is, he's sustaining us every moment of every day. And it is only God that sustains us. Because if we are committed to him and to follow him, Satan would like to eradicate us from this planet, period. Have us take our next breath would be our last. That's what his desire would be, so we can have no influence on those who don't know the truths that we know, haven't decided to, you know, accept eternal life and accept forgiveness. It says in the spirit of prophecy that every time we leave our home, it is Satan's desire we never darken our doorway again if we're faithful to Christ. It is desire that we don't darken our own doorway. We don't come back that day. I often think, right now I'm hauling grain down different places that as we're combining the corn, and you know, it isn't a truck that's used every day on the road. In the fall, we use it a lot. In the summer, we're hauling haylage and different things, but it's mostly used around the farm and sometimes out on the road a little further. The furthest I go is maybe like a 150-mile round trip with a load of grain. But I've often thought, when I'm loaded with grain, I weigh 75,000 pounds, and I've often thought, it is only through God's sustaining power that I don't have a blowout and injure someone or hit a tree. My truck is 32 years old and the trailer is 40 years old. I mean, you know, it's not like I have new stuff. And yet, I know that it's God that sustains me every trip I take, every mile I go. It's not just by happen chance. There is no coincidence. It's not luck. You know, it's God's sustaining power every step I take. I know where I'm going. I know where you're going if you continue to submit to God and live the life that he would choose. I know the future. Thank God for that future. Magnify him. Figure out that what that means, to magnify God, to give him the credit and the glory. We have a lot more than we think to be thankful for every moment of every day. Dear Lord, we're thankful that we can exchange what might be a few moments here and exchange them for eternity. We're thankful for the offer of eternal life and what you've done to make it so that we can have that possibility. We pray that we recognize it every moment of our life and live our life knowing with confidence of what's been exchanged just for us. Help us to magnify you to those that we meet, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen.